We've been focusing more and more attention on bees in the last few years as we've become more aware of their importance. Once you call them pollinators, their role in the environment becomes clearer. It's not so much bees as what they make that will be celebrated later this week at the Oregon Honey Festival, back for a second year in downtown Ashland. Bees, pesticides, honey, and more will be discussion topics. Speakers include today's first guest. Marie Simmons is a cook, a cookbook author, and a beekeeper with cookbooks running all the way back to 365 Ways to Cook Pasta, published in 1988, and many books since that time. She'll be at the Oregon Honey Festival this weekend, and she's here with us now. Marie Simmons, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's great to be with you.
Now, one of your more recent books is actually one just about cooking with honey, isn't it?
Yes, it's called Taste of Honey, and it came out summer before last. And it was quite a life-changing experience for me because of this book, we became beekeepers, which we didn't think we'd ever do, but it's been fascinating.
So what led you to write a whole book on honey?
Well, I've always had an affinity for single subjects. Many of my books have been on single subjects. I have one on eggs, one on figs, and of course pasta and so on. But it was actually an editor's idea. She, believe it or not, but she came to me. I had done another project for her, and she just said, you know, I've been at the farmer's market. There's all these different varietals, different, you know, labels on these jars of honey. I don't know which one to buy. What do they taste like? You know, what is it all about? She said, I'd like to have a reference book describing the taste of all these different honeys and how I would use them in my kitchen for cooking. So she said, would you be interested? And I just happened to I had always been a fan of honey, and I had a big fat folder filled with, you know, articles I'd torn out. I'm one of those paper people. So I had very old articles that I had torn out of magazines and newspapers about honey, about beekeeping. I'd read several books about beekeeping just because I was curious. And here was my opportunity to get in the kitchen and do more experimenting. So that's what led to this book. And that, and learning about the magic of what the honeybee accomplishes by bringing us this wonderful golden essence, just, you know, really made me more and more curious. And I said to my husband, listen, you know, you're more intellectual than I am. You do the studying, the beekeeping study, and you become the beekeeper, and I'll stay in the kitchen and get this cookbook done because I can't do both at the same time. So he did, and he really got into it, and we started. In the meanwhile, we moved to Eugene, excuse me, and he started going to different conferences and meetings and joined the Lane County beekeepers and, you know, just really and learned, you know, got a mentor. And so here we are. We now have three hives in our backyard.
That's impressive. And, you know, so it's a good, sounds like a good division of labor, too. He takes care of the bees and you take care of what the bees create.
Exactly. And you know, you can't study honey and think about what is honey, how is it made, and not want to know more and more about the bees. And, you know, at the festival on Saturday, we're going to have a couple of entomologists who are going to be, you know, giving different talks about beekeeping and about the bees. It's going to be fascinating. There's 30 different exhibitors with honey and different products. There's even a chocolatier, someone who's made her, in fact, she's a colleague of mine, Anne, is going to be there with her beautiful chocolates made with honey. And there's going to be activities for children. Kids are free under the age of 8 if they're accompanied by an adult. And there's going to be, and children are just fascinated. We have a 7-year-old grandson just fascinated by the bees. And so that's going to be a nice afternoon, morning and afternoon for them as well.
So there will be bees there at the festival, right there in the Ashland Springs Hotel?
Yeah, evidently. I believe there will be. I've been at different conferences where the beekeepers bring their bees in these, you know, glassed-in, you know, observation hives. And so hopefully they'll have those. And that would be great because then you can see them building the honeycomb and depositing the nectar and the queen bee, you know, laying her eggs. And anyway, it's just so fascinating. It's definitely like a village going on in that hive. They're very, very busy.
Truly. Marie Simmons is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, cook and cookbook author and now beekeeper. She lives in the Eugene area. She'll be one of the guests at the Oregon Honey Festival at the Ashland Springs Hotel this Saturday, October 17th. You can join us right now on the Jefferson Exchange. You got questions about bees or cooking with honey? We got the person to answer them. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Now, just to the casual observer, Marie, it does appear that there are lots of varieties to the point that the mind can almost boggle. You're no longer the casual observer, so give us an idea of just the breadth of different kinds of honey out there.
Well, you know, as we know, if we think about it, you know, the honey is made from the nectar of flowers, and the bees have a very complex, and I won't go into that right now unless we have time later, but how they actually create the, you know, the honey is created from the nectar. But the bees do all the work, and they gather the nectar from whatever is available in your yard, which is why we should keep our flower beds really clean and encourage our neighbors not to use pesticides, because, you know, there is this problem with colony collapse disorder. They don't know exactly why, but they are pointing at, you know, neonicotinoids, and that, you know, is a real concern. But anyway, to get back to the fun part, they collect the nectar from whatever flowers are available. Now, beekeeper, this is the part where the beekeeper comes in. Beekeepers will move their hives. If there is a field of, say, rosemary in bloom, they will move their hives into the rosemary, in the center of the rosemary, or to the edge of the rosemary acreage, and they will, the bees will collect the nectar from usually up to two miles, maybe long, maybe further if they need to go. But if the nectar is right there, they will, the flowering plants are there, they will collect it from there. And this is how you get a varietal. And when I moved here to Eugene 3 years ago, I discovered I'd never had meadow foam. And meadow foam is a very, I keep discovering new flavors, new varietals of honey. Meadow foam, if you ever see it anywhere, usually you see it at farmers markets or at, you know, stores that specialize in honey. You don't necessarily find it in supermarkets, although there are markets here in Eugene that carry a wonderful assortment of different honey from different plants and all local. There's something called, well, there's blackberry honey and blueberry honey and raspberry honey and pennyroyal, which is, you know, kind of a mint. Our own honey, which we just harvested, we took about, I would say, about one-tenth of the honey. We left the rest in the hives for the bees to, hopefully, to keep them fed over the winter months when there's no blossoms for them to collect nectar from. That particular honey is kind of dark amber. It's a dark amber shade, and the flavor is very complex, but we get a lot of mint, which makes sense because we have a lot of mint planted in our yard. I have pots of mint. I like to cook with it, but the blossoms are what the bees love.
Let's take a call. We have Paul in Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking honey and bees with Marie Simmons.
Good morning, Marie. It's certainly a sweet topic to be working with. I'm looking at the darker side of what's going on, though, and still worried about colony collapse syndrome, neonicotinoids, and GMOs affecting colonies. What progress has been made regarding that, and what are your thoughts on it? I'll take my answers off the air.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, to Paul's, thank you for calling in, Paul. There isn't progress being made in terms of actually stopping this. I noticed the figures say that we've lost even more colonies this year than we did the year before. The percentages are slightly higher. In fact, a little bit more than slightly. I think they were about 10% higher, and which is very worrisome. Unfortunately, we as individuals, as beekeepers, as people, as keeper of the, you know, of our land, in our environments, we need to just, you know, take small steps, presumably small steps, to try to get some of these culprits, which I'm referring to the pesticides, which is one of the things that's suspected. You know, there's no proof of any of this scientifically, but they're suspected. They see very high levels in bees. So there's other things that happened. And so we need, you know, there's mites and all kinds of other issues. Does it go back to the weakening of the bees because of the pesticides? Is that one of the reasons the bees are weaker? We don't know for sure, but it's, you know, it's one of the things that, that scientists are looking at. But at any rate, you know, to just keep, we have this organization here in Eugene where you try to encourage your neighbors not to use pesticides. One of my poor neighbors, I went over to him and I said, he was digging up dandelions in his yard. And I said, oh, I wish you wouldn't dig up the dandelions because the bees love them. They like the nectar. And he, of course, he looked at me like I was crazy. But, you know, it's just, but, you know, you just have to, you know, if you blame the bees, you know, people are because people care about bees. They really do. And for good reason. If they don't know scientifically, they know instinctively that without the bees, we, you know, I mean, after all, they pollinate, I think, over one third of the food that we, you know, eat every day. Or that might be on our plate. So they're very important pollinators. And if they're wiped out, we're in trouble. So, I wish I could tell, the caller that, you know, great strides are being made and we're solving this problem. We're not. But we, by encouraging, small beekeepers, you know, meaning people like hobbyists like myself and my husband and our neighbors up and down our block here in Eugene, there are at least three people I know who have beehives in their backyard. And this all helps. So that's one of the things that we can do and encourage our neighbors not to use these products and also encourage and talk to the different stores that sell them and ask them to, you know, if they need to sell them, at least put warnings on them. You know, big warnings. Now, be aware that this can be, you know, poisonous for our environment and for, and for our own health as well.
Marie Simmons is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, cookbook author, beekeeper, and one of the guests at the Oregon Honey Festival this Saturday in Ashland. You know, as deeply as you've gone into cooking, and you mentioned that your husband is the one taking care of the handling of the bees, but just as you've had it around, have had a bee colony around you, have you just become aware of just how complicated, how interrelated everything is?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, they're very, I have a tendency to be a little bit dreamy about nature. You know, I'm not the scientific mind necessarily, but to a little dreamy. So, you know, early in the morning, especially this summer when it was so hot, and in the morning it was nice and cool, and, you know, as the sun was coming up, I had a bench in our chicken yard, which is really quite large, and that's where the hives are, the beehives are. So I would, you know, I would sit there and I could, you know, hear them in their hive. I mean, it's a real little community going on in there. And then pretty soon as it, you know, it got warm, the warmth of the sun would come out, they start coming out and heading off, you know, and they're so tiny, you know, they just disappear. And, so, you know, you become aware and you wonder what they're doing and how, you know, what's happening in there. And, you know, they only live a short time. They don't live, these little, especially the workers, you know, because the gatherers, they're looking for the nectar and they're in the hive building the honeycomb. And, you know, they're working so hard. They only live, you know, probably less than a month. And, you know, which was amazing to me because I had no idea. And if they sting you, it's because they're trying to defend their hive. Because it's, I mean, they're making the honey not for us. They're making the honey to keep their colony alive. So once you start realizing all these things, you know, you become more and more in awe of the honeybee.
Before we go, do you have a favorite honey recipe out of the ones you've compiled?
Oh, my. It's like asking if I had a favorite child, but we only have one child, so I guess you can say we have a favorite child. But, yeah, I like to use honey with chocolate. It's one of my favorite combinations of chocolate and honey. And, in fact, we're going to have chocolate at the festival on Saturday. So, but I love, and I love a dark, strong, big-tasting, almost a molasses-like flavor. One of my favorite honeys, and I just bought another jar yesterday, so we're going to be tasting that as well. at the festival is buckwheat. And buckwheat honey, which is so dark and robust, and a lot of people don't necessarily like the flavor of it, is great with chocolate. It just brings out all the different complex flavor notes in chocolate. So I use it in chocolate pudding or in making brownies, chocolate cookies. I use it as a sweetener. So that's something to think about that you might not have thought about. All those wonderful listeners out there might not have thought about it before this.
All right. Well, the Oregon Honey Festival is on Saturday, the second one at the Ashland Springs Hotel in Ashland. Marie Simmons, cookbook author and beekeeper, will be among the guests. It's followed by the Oregon Mead Festival. Who knew? The day after. Marie, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care.